You can tell how smart I am. He hooks everything on, turns everything on, and gives it to me.
Amen.
I tell people you've got to get preacher's proof things to work with up here. Amen. I used to have a little mic like this that I used, and I don't know why it had on, off, and standby. And everybody put it on standby or off, and nobody ever turned it on. Amen. Amen, brother. You go ahead and turn to the book of Jude tonight, just for a minute, if you'd like. While you turn there, I'll give you about a 10-second update. My cancer doctor released me on August the 21st. Amen. He said, I believe you're free to go. Amen. I thought to myself, I've always been free to go. You just didn't know anything about it. Amen. I learned with these doctors, thank God for them. But they're not going to dictate my life, and my circumstances are not going to dictate what they do to me. But anyway, good to be with you tonight. I've got about 20 minutes after 8 right now. Is my clock right? Where I'm from. Amen. So I'm not going to keep you long tonight. It's good to be here. Good to have nephew Jamie. Got to spend a lot of time. He got to drive 3 old men around today. And what a thrill. His ears stayed red, and he didn't say 10 words all day. Amen. Just got to drive us to the VA down in Hopkinsville. It's good to be with you. Pray for us. We'll be leaving out of here about 4 o'clock in the morning. Now, if I get up before 4 o'clock, I'll tell my wife, when I feel like I'm going to be watching that clock every 5 minutes, then at that point in time, we're going to hit the road and get out of it. Somebody said, why 4 o'clock in the morning? Your time because of Nashville and Knoxville. And I think that's about enough said. Amen. I want to look at this. When you get to the book of Jude, he deals with the end time. Boy, tremendous book. He talks about, in verse number 3, earnestly contending for the faith once delivered to the saints. And what we've got tonight in the Word of God, God will never give it again. I believe we have the very Word of God in our hand, inspired. I believe it's preserved. I believe the inspiration is in the preservation of the Word of God tonight, and we've got exactly what God wants us to have, and we take care of it. Find all these false teachers. Boy, I mean, he goes through a bunch through here. I'm not going to deal with them, but listen, we live in bad times spiritually. How many know that? Falling away. Somebody said in the last day you'd be falling away. It's been falling away ever since I've been saved. If you took the average church, I don't care what the denomination is, and took it 40 years ago and brought it into the church today, most of the members would get mad and leave. They wouldn't stand for what they had 40 years ago. That's how, listen, we got used to the dark. Huh? Got used to it out here. It's dark outside. We're in the end time. We believe Jesus could come today. We know what time it is. So I want to give you something I think will help you a little bit tonight. We're going to end down to the end of the book, verse number 24 and 25. Boy, you know these familiar verses tonight. Now unto him. We find what's called a doxology. You find quite a few of these in the Bible where at the end of a book or during the book, they'll just stop and praise the Lord a little while. Amen. You say, why? It's all unto him. It's by him, it's through him, and it's to him, and everything's be done to the glory of God. He said, whether you eat or whether you drink, well, whatsoever you do, he said, do all to the glory of God. So we get down to the end of this book. I mean, he's set a bad scenario. You go to 2 Timothy, Thessalonians chapter number 2, you find that wicked is about ready to come. And we live in that day. But hey, what I want to do tonight is I want to encourage you about something. It won't be long until we're going to be home. Preacher's been preaching that for years. Now, I'm 70 years old, and it's not going to be long until I'm going to be home one way or the other. Amen. But I thank God for that tonight. And he ends this thing with a doxology. Now, unto him that is able. Now, he's talking about unto him, all right? Not only to him glory, but I'm talking about he's praising God right now for what he's going to say next. Now, unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. One day soon we'll stand in front of God. We stand in front of Him. The Bible said we're not going to stand forgiven. We're going to stand faultless. Faultless means I find in Him no fault at all. Do you understand they said that about Christ? And just as Christ is, we are in the sight of God tonight. That's why we have eternal life, everlasting life. When God sees us, He sees the imputed righteousness of His Son. I've been teaching through Romans in chapter number 10. Listen, God set the nation of Israel aside for a little while because they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. We just live in the day where everybody is saying, yes, I believe it's all about Jesus, and then they add something on to it, all right? This thing of salvation is all God. You need to understand, you've never been a day in your life when you've been fit for the kingdom of God. We don't hold out, hang out, endure to the end because I'm not able to keep that. It's not of works, it's simply by the grace of God. So He said, now unto him that is able. But notice what He said in the last part, with exceeding joy. I'll come back in a minute. Now, why did God make salvation this way? To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. The wisdom of God. What was the wisdom of God? That man sinned and God had to do something about it. And God slew that animal. I believe it was a lamb. But He slew that animal in Genesis chapter number 3. And He shed that blood. He shed the blood of the innocent for the guilty. And He brought coats. Hey, they tried to cover with fig leaves. They made an apron. That's from the waist down. Listen, the world doesn't see nudity the way God does. But God made them coats. God made them coverings for their sin. And I want to say tonight, to God be the glory. But I thought about the exceeding joy. I want to deal with it very quickly in two different areas. One, kind of what's coming, all right? I found the exceeding joy of the presence of the Lord. Somebody said, preacher, what's heaven going to be all about? It's going to be Him. That's why in John 14, He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Now listen to the last part. And receive you unto me, that where I am. What's heaven all about? It's about Him, all right? So we find the presence of God Himself. One day, thank God for the first time. You know, the Bible put a blessing upon them that had seen Christ and believed. But boy, He said the blessing was upon them that had never seen Christ. But friend, they had believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. I've never seen Him with my physical eye, and I don't care what they say. Nobody else has. Friend, when He ascended back to heaven, friend, they don't see Him. Listen, I've never seen Christ. And yet, through the Word of God, friend, I have seen a whole lot about Him that I like. Amen. So one day soon, we're going to be in the presence of God. You're talking about exceeding joy. Then I thought about a glad reunion. We got loved ones. Hey, a lot of our churches are getting older, sitting on the pews. When I started out, I was marrying more than I was burying, and now I'm burying more than I'm marrying. I've got a wedding coming up in 2 weeks, a young couple. But listen, we've got a lot of people in their 80s, in their 70s. I'm talking about old saints of God, still faithful to God. Boy, I have buried a slew of people in the 32 years I've been in Lawrence. I look back, and their places are still empty tonight. I'm not talking about there's nobody sitting there. But you know, I know where every one of them sat. And I look back, and I miss that crowd. Boy, what made our church so special was that bunch of sinners God saved. And I mean, they had their ups and their downs. We laughed and cried together. We fussed together. We loved God together. And one day, just like today, boy, we're going to see Him again. The Bible said those that sleep in Jesus, He's going to bring with Him, all right? So we find the presence of the Lord. We find a glad reunion day. Then I thought about that eternal body we're going to get. Isn't that a blessing? Amen. God has prepared something. Listen, He's going to give us something that doesn't break. doesn't get sick. Hey, I went back to my doctor the other day, and I've got a little cough, and I've had an upper respiratory, and I've got one of these new doctors. They got a lot of book sense. They don't have anything else. And she told me it could be stomach cancer. All I needed was to walk into that office and hear that woman tell me I might have stomach cancer. I said, "Lady, I've got a little tickle right here in the throat." She said, "That's one of the symptoms." Anybody ever here had a tickle in your throat? How many of you died? How many of you have died of stomach cancer? But I thank God for something. Listen, I still feel like I can do it. Not long ago, I stood in the pulpit, and with all the boldness in the world, I said, "I feel as good as I did when I was 40 years old." Got home, got to thinking about that. I thought, I don't even remember how I felt when I was 40 years of age. But listen, we're going downhill a little bit. Things don't work like they did, and yet we're going to get an eternal body. One that'll never get sick, never get tired. You don't eat because you're hungry. You know, you go on these diets, you get hungry. How do you lose weight? You got to stay a little bit hungry. My grandfather used to fill a plate, put an average helping on that, and when he got done, he would eat, he'd leave something on the plate. We say, "Why do you leave something on the plate?" He said, "If I want anything else, I don't have to go get it. It's right there on the plate." Listen, I'm not that way. Me and my wife go to a buffet. I can eat a plate while she's still trying to fill one. And we pass each other, going me for the second and her coming to the table for the first. Listen, boy, I'm excited about a new body. And then I thought about a perfect peace. Over in Matthew, he talked about the peace of God. He said, "Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven." I'm looking for a place where I don't have to worry about politics in 2 weeks. Now, you pray for our nation. I believe it's imperative that we do that. My greatest fear is that God will give America exactly what she deserves. That's my greatest fear. I thank God for the grace of God and the mercy of God tonight. But listen, I love this nation. But you look around, and boy, there's no peace anywhere you go tonight. Violence on every side. Oh, just the news. I used to be kind of a news junkie. But I'm kind of getting broke away from that. My boy said I'm a whole lot easier to be around if I watch just 4 or 5 hours of news instead of 12. I turn them on. I tell Barbara, "Breaking news, breaking news." Same old story over and over and over again. Listen, I thank God something about heaven. Heaven's going to be a place of peace. Boy, I'm talking about the perfect peace of Isaiah chapter 26, verse number 3. "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace." We try to stay our minds upon Christ, but I'm talking about absolute peace all of the time forevermore. Then I thought about the joy of heaven's place. We're not going to go to Revelation 21, but I got a sneaking hunch it's going to be pretty. "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so," he said, "I would have told you." Listen, God's not a liar. Heaven's not about mansions to me, but I've often thought about that, the throne of God and the river of life proceeding out of the throne. And then the Bible says that in the midst of the street and on either side of the river is the tree of life. Boy, you get a picture of that. That it's coming out of the throne of God, and that tree of life comes down, and it's on either side of the river, but it's in the midst of the street. You got a boulevard with a tree of life and a river run through. Boy, I get to thinking about the New Jerusalem, the beauty of that thing. What a glorious, glorious thing. You know what's going to be so good about heaven? He said, "Behold, I make all things new." I thought about the joy of first glimpse. Anybody been to the Grand Canyon? Have you stepped out on that north rim? Oh, my daddy, he stepped out there with his toes hanging. He got over them rails and he was taking pictures. My mama hollering at me. You'd have to know my dad. Matter of fact, first time he saw that thing, this is what my dad said. He said, "If I had been here when this started with 2 bales of hay, I could have stopped it." You'd have to know my daddy. Amen. Step out. But the first, you know, just kind of takes your breath away, all right? Listen, in heaven, that is how you will always view it, as if it's the first time you ever saw it. You see, the Lord said, I am that I am. And I believe that God lives in an eternity with no past and no future. It's a present time. God's on both sides of us at the same time. That's why he knows the end from the beginning, and he looks back and sees the other way, because God's just there. I am that I am in a present tense. I don't believe there's any time. Matter of fact, the Bible said in the book of Revelation, and there was no more time. Time's something God gave us 7,000 years in the middle of eternities. And I believe it's an ever-present moment, friend. I'm talking about the sweetest thing you've ever seen in your life. Now, I said I want to go back to that. I thank God for these things, but I want to have some joy about something else when I see Christ. I've got to think about exceeding joy. The joy of not just these things. I thank God for them, but you know, heaven to me is more than that. Heaven is a place of desire. Heaven's a place that I'm longing for. I have no fear of death tonight. I have not had fear of death in years. My doctor called me and told me I had cancer. I said, all right, so what? What are we going to do about it? And she would give me all the worst case scenario. And I said, let me just straighten something out, young lady. I told her, I said, if God wants me to live, I'll live. If God wants me to die, I'll die. But I told her, I said, I am good with it either way it goes. When we get to heaven, I want to finish right. You understand what I'm saying? In a day when everybody's just slipping and sliding just a little bit, huh? Slipping and sliding, I want to stand up there and have the joy of knowing that I stood for something in this world. We have missionaries coming to our church. Our church, we try to hold the lines and we hold them tight. We've always held those lines tight. I tell people, Temple Baptist Church is not for everybody. I told them, when the Bible changes, we'll think about it. They say, well, our Bible has. I said, no, you don't have a Bible. You got a book. I've got the Word of God. And listen, one thing about this, and we're talking about today, but I picked up my old Bible. I found that thing. I thought I had lost a good friend. But I thought about the Word of God. As it's translated to us, it's frozen in time. They say it's archaic. You ever heard anybody say that? Friend, the language is frozen in the 1600s. It's frozen in the Elizabethan period. It's frozen in time. It's frozen when the English was at its height of purity. I'm talking about Elizabeth, the these and the thous and the arts and the hoping, he hoping me. I look at, hey, we still talk like that in Kentucky. We kind of froze in time a little bit, all right? But I thought about the Word of God frozen in time, and I thought the Word of God doesn't change. That's why you got to go back and get a dictionary and look some words up. People say, well, I'll let somebody else define them. That's a bad mistake. Anybody here use word processors? Does it ever put a little red line under about half of what you spell? It'll always put a red line under King James English because the ETF endings are no longer used. Resteth, abideth. So it always underlined it. But what happens in your little word processor, if you're not familiar with it, if you right-click on that word, you get a little drop-down, all right? And one of the words down there is called synonyms. What is a synonym? A synonym is a word that is like the other word. It's like it. It's not the same word, but it's a similar word, all right? That's why it's called a synonym. Now, you can right-click on that and tell it to replace it. Now you've replaced a word, but now you can right-click on that word you just replaced, and it'll give you a little drop down to the right, and it'll have the word synonyms. But the synonyms it brings up are being removed from that original word, just a little by a little bit. That's why God said not a jot nor a tittle. A jot is a letter. The tittle is simply the inflection of the word. We've got the word of God tonight. Now, you say, why'd you say that? Because as long as I've got my sense in my head, I want to stand in the old paths that my father stood in before I was ever born. Exceeding joy. Hey, we finished our course. We fought that good fight. We've kept that faith. We stand before God. He said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Boy, what a blessing. Listen, do you want to get a well done? You just hold on. They're slipping all around. Hey, you don't have to slip. You say, well, we lose people. We don't slip with them. Those are exactly the people you want to replace with a synonym. The synonym for them is liberal. They need to go someplace else. I tell people when they join my church, hey, we're not joining you. You're joining us. Huh? I want well done. You hold on to what you've got. You hold on. Don't you give an inch. You don't have to give an inch. Jesus didn't give an inch. The apostles didn't give an inch. And we don't have to give an inch either. So one, that we stood fast. Second thing, hey, I want to stand there with joy because I at least suffered a little bit for Jesus. Have you ever suffered because of your faith? There's not much suffering today anymore. You say, why? Because only the godly in Christ Jesus suffer persecution. I fear that all of us have got some Laodicea. Hey, I'm guilty. You don't have to put your hand up. I'm guilty. I'm double guilty tonight. Wow. Listen, I like some things, okay? I'm big and fat and sassy. I like plenty to eat. Somebody said, what's fasting in your day? That's when you eat fast. Huh? Now, I'm talking about joy tonight, that we have suffered for Christ. Listen to what he said. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad. Boy, what a blessed thing tonight. Listen, I don't mind suffering for Christ. I tell people if I'm wrong, I'll apologize. If you're wrong, you need to apologize. There are some things I don't fight over. I don't fight over everything come along. Some people say I fight at the drop of a hat. Let me tell you, I've dropped my hat too many times to fight over everything that when your hat drops, all right? But I want to say there are some things worth it. There's something our nation better start fighting for. Huh? Men fought and shed their blood so that we've got the opportunity that we've got in the day in which we live. I want to stand fast. But friend, I'm not minded. Listen, he suffered for my sake. He loved me and suffered for me. And I don't mind suffering a little bit for Jesus Christ. We've all gone through church splits. But you know what I found out about church splits? When that split leaves, and by the way, there's something worse than a church split leaving. It's when they stay on the pews. I know what it is, have church splits, but you know what? When it happened, immediately the peace of God settled back over that church that had been gone for a long, long time. Isn't that a blessing? Hey, suffering. I want to suffer a little bit for Christ. And then I want exceeding joy because, hey, I have a good path to follow. I've been left something tonight. I thank God for our heritage. Somebody said, what would you be if you wasn't a Baptist? I'd be ashamed. Now, I'm not picking on anybody else. I'm just letting you know. I'd be ashamed. You say, why? Because, friends, we believe this book. We may not scream and holler and jump 14 feet over top of a pew, friend, but Baptists, true Baptists, are biblicists. This is our faith that we follow, friend. And we dot our I's and cross our T's with the Word of God. And if the Baptists err from it, then we just kind of err from them just a little bit. Amen? But I'm talking about a good path to follow. We talk about the old paths over in the book of Jeremiah. Thank God they're well trodden. Or you look back, you go back, oh my, 17th century, 16th century. You go back and you look at what these people suffered for the cause of Jesus Christ. They died. And friend would not recant their faith in Christ. Boy, nowadays, if you walk up and just slap somebody on the hand, they think you've been persecuted for Jesus. But I'm talking about tonight, we follow a good path tonight. I thank God for that path that we follow it. It's a well-worn path in the Scriptures. Boy, I wish I had started years ago. I've been in the pulpit 33 years ago, but about 15 years ago, I decided I was going to go book by book by book and preach through every verse of Scripture. And boy, I have covered a multitude of books. Matter of fact, I put all of these out, sermon outlines and things, in book form. And I'm talking about 300 plus pages of typewritten material on one book. Just pour that thing. I wish I had started. I have learned more about the Word of God preaching through, because you can't skip anything. You've got to handle it. You can't come to it and say, well, folks, I just don't understand. There have been many a verse I have prayed over a lot of time before I got to it and said, God, I don't really understand that. And then I'd be driving down the road meditating on that verse. You ever had God click that little light on? Click, click. And I'd say, I will be. You know why? Because I'd pulled it out of its context. I'd made a pretext out of it. I didn't understand. When I went back and studied who he's talking to and what he was talking about, and took that verse within the context it was written in, all of a sudden the light of God shone upon that thing. Hey, we've got good paths to follow tonight. We've got some good brethren. Hey, I don't know all of these guys in my background, but there's not many preachers in the Johnston family. How many of you know Jamie? No, that ain't settled yet. Amen. Boy, you look back in our family, and I look back through the history of our family. Friend, hey, and I'm not knocking our family, but I don't find a strong godly heritage back there. Just, I mean, people, you know, they went to church every now and then. Sat beside a man at VA down here at Hoptown today, and I was witnessing to him and his wife. You pray for him, he's lost. He's 71 years old. He's given me 950 excuses in 10 minutes as to why he wasn't saved at age 71. And I sat there and explained the gospel to him and his wife, and she was listening. She was all ears, and he was making every excuse in the world for where he was at age 71, with pacemakers in and sugar diabetes and everything. He was in a terrible shape. Oh my, but I'm talking about on our spiritual side, friend. We've got a path well trodden. It's a fool wouldn't get off of the path if he stayed with the Word of God. And then I said a while ago, finishing our race. Listen, each one of you got a race to run. You know that, don't you? I thank God for Brother Richardson back here. I thank God for this church. When I come into town, I come to church here. You say, well, where do you go to church if you don't come here? That means we drove back and I go to church there. Amen. Hey, I thank God. Since God saved me, I've had a love for the church. I love the assembly of the saints of God. I love to come in and sing with them. I love to come in and pray with them. I love to come in and hear them preach the Word of God to us. Boy, what a thrill it is to come to church. When I go through my radio, I'm not looking going down the road for music. Not against music. I'm looking to try to find somebody that's preaching the Word of God without any compromise so I can get a little bit of help while I'm driving down the road. I've got a lot of dials set on there. And friend, there's not much out there anymore. If you've got a good radio station still here, thank God for it, friend. Let me tell you where I come from. There's not a whole lot of them. There's one or two, and sometimes you can't reach them. But I'm talking about finishing right. I know the pitfalls. But I thank God I know somebody that knows my up and down settings and my uprisings and understandeth my thoughts afar off. I thank God for that tonight. You know, my greatest fear is that I will mess up some way or the other and not be able to preach and bring reproach to my Lord and to my wife back there. And I've tried to set something, you know, in front of our family. They know I'm different. I had a brother sitting in a room with him one day, and he said, I am a literalist. I believe literally the Word of God. But then he looked at me and grinned, and he said, but I'm not nearly as literal as David is. And I thank God, and I'm not knocking him. I thank the Lord. He's in church tonight. I thank the Lord for that. But friend, let me tell you something. You do want to finish right. You understand me? When I get home, I want my family, when they bury me. And by the way, when they get you down here, your funeral's already been preached. You understand that, don't you? I was in a funeral one time, and one of the wickedest women I've ever known had died. That woman was wicked. Little old dried up 75, 80-pound woman, mean as a rattlesnake. And I'll never forget that preacher got up there. He's a Baptist preacher in town, one of them Baptists. And he got up there and he talked about the family. He told them, you're going to see Mama walking on that street of gold one of these days. And they turned around and started laughing. While this man preaching the funeral, they were guffawing. Boy, they was laughing and slapping their leg and thinking, Mama ain't going to be there. And probably we won't either. We want to finish right and set something for our families to follow. Then I want to get a well done. I've dealt with that. But I want to deal with one more thing and go the exceeding joy. I want to have a crown to cast. 5 crowns to be won in the Bible. Most of you will only win 4. One of those is called the pastor's crown. And not that we're fit to wear it. Listen, I am not fit to wear a crown. You get to the book of Revelation, you find that we're casting those crowns at his feet because the Bible said on his head were many crowns. Only God's fit to wear those. You know, if I am anything tonight, and I'm nothing, one thing I tell my people regularly, and Brother Richardson, I may be wrong in doing this, I tell them all around, I am the worst Christian that you've ever met in your life. You see, every morning I get up and I look into the face of somebody who looks back at me and I look in those eyes. And you know, I have never been happy with who I looked at. I tell them I am the worst of the worst. And by the way, a lot of times God saves the baser sort. He picks some bad dudes to be in the ministry. I'm talking about he picks some bad ones. And I thank God for these that are raised up in the Christian home. Get in there. See, it's hard for them to be touched with the feeling of the people's infirmities. It's hard for them when they don't know what it is to have drank. And I'm not knocking. I thank God they don't know that. And tobacco and all these things that some of you really struggled to give up. I'm not like some of them. I've heard them say, boy, when I got saved, God just took all the desire away. Well, he didn't take any of mine away. Anybody else? No, you don't have to raise your hand. Let me tell you, I fought tooth and nail to give to God. I used to laugh. I said, you can quit certain habits. I said, I've already quit 100 times. There ain't nothing to it. Huh? Hey, I'm talking about when we get to heaven, friend. Listen, I want to have some crowns. I'm not worthy tonight to even bear them. But if I do, if this old sinner saved by the grace of God gets anything in heaven, I'm giving it to him. I want to throw him at his feet. You see, he said, now unto him. You say, why? Because everything's unto him. We get no glory. I don't want any glory. When I come in preacher's fellowships, I sit in the back. Hey, when I came here, I used to sneak in late all the time. Is that not right, Brother Rick? Well, he's just starting later. I thought he won't even start on time. He waits if I come walking in. You say, why? Because I'd rather sit in the back and listen to him preach. I enjoy you preaching, brother. And I understand you. And your voice, and I thank God for, and listen, I'll preach anytime, anywhere God gives me the breath to preach, and I'm always ready. I used to sit at Tabernacle Baptist Church, you know, all them people out there and 250 preachers in Bible college, and then you had 250 more that wasn't going anywhere. And I'd sit out there and I'd have my little old 3-point outline. And one day I thought, Dr. Sykes, God didn't give me nothing today. Brother Johnson, you got something out there to preach? Yeah, Doc, I got something, Amen. We're not fit for anything, folks. I don't want to be anybody. I don't want to be anybody down here. When I go to a preacher's fellowship, I don't want them to call my name out. You can ask my wife. We slip in the back. We sit down. You know what we do at preacher's fellowships? We come in a little bit late. You say, that's sinful. I know that is. You just ask God to forgive me. Amen. But I figure if there's enough there, I can sneak in and find some big tall fella and hide behind him. But one of these days when we get to heaven and we stand dressed in the righteousness of Christ alone, only in that will we stand faultless before the throne. And it will be with a joy that you have never experienced in your life. And it will be an eternal weight of glory. Amen. God bless you. I hope you have a good rest of the day. Amen. I'm going to turn over. You come on, brother. I was through 15 minutes ago, but I didn't want to let them go that quick. Amen.